Good morning. Can you hear me? All right, cool. Oh, look how he picks it up. Wait a minute. What? Man, get out of here. Okay. Hey, good morning, Church 180. How y'all doing? This was, as low as that was far better than the first service. We had one person say they was doing good. I'm like, man, this is going to be tough. All right, if I got to have you doing good before you get out of here and only one person feeling good now, that's a problem. Okay. Anyway, hey, my name is Keith Goosby, and I'm here this morning. I'm going to be delivering the message, and I'm going to be following up on the message that Tony gave last week. In fact, the message is this message series for the summer, and this message series is all about Jesus' statements of I am. We'll be talking about I am. And there were seven I ams that are going to be talked about. Tony talked last week about I am the bread of life. Okay, if you want to be satisfied, if you want your hunger taken care of, I am the bread of life. This week, I'm going to talk about the I am the light of the world. We're going to explore that for a minute. And our text is taken from John 8, and is verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Not just the light of a particular part of life, not just the light of a certain thing, the light of life. And a lot of times I think that's lacking in our lives, or at least we don't realize that it's there, that we have access to it. And as Tony put in the email that he sent out to the church recently, he said, that's not just a beautiful phrase, it's a powerful declaration when Jesus says, I am the light of life. So when you introduce light into a dark space, you know, there's darkness is there. But light chases out darkness. And no matter how dark the place is, when you introduce a light, that darkness in that place has to go away. And so when we're walking in a dark world, and that dark world can be just a dark place in the nighttime, that dark world can be a dark place in my mind emotionally, that dark place can be a dark place in my heart spiritually. But when we're walking in a dark place, having light helps lights up the way. Now, it doesn't necessarily get rid of the challenges that come with the things that are hidden, that are in the dark. It helps us to see. It helps guide us. It helps us with our next footstep and where we're going to go. So when Jesus said, I am, he was claiming to be God himself, echoing the divine name revealed to Moses. Okay, now, this was a problem. And Tony talked about this last week. I reviewed a bit. This was a problem for some folks. You see, about 3,000 years ago, there's this guy named Moses. He's about 80 years old. I can tell you what happens when a person reaches about 60, 65, 70. You think in retirement. It's like, oh, this is over. Okay, where are we going to go? What cruise line am I going to get on? But Moses had this problem. He's out. He's not quite retired yet. He's out watching the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro, and he sees this burning bush. And this burning bush, he stands there and watch it, and it never burns up. What are you going to do when you see a burning bush that never burns up? You going toward it or away from it? I'm going away from it, not Moses. Moses went to the bush. He went to the bush, and out of that bush, he found out that his retirement plans had been canceled. That's what happens when you go toward trouble. Okay, no. But he went to the bush. He went to the bush that did not burn up. And as he got to the bush, God speaks to him, and he has a conversation with him. And he tells him, I want you to go back to Egypt, where you have been 40 years ago. You know what it's like. You know that our people are in captivity, and they are now slaves in Egypt. I want you to go back there and free them. And Moses is like, what? You want what? In fact, at one point, he's like, I can't speak well. You don't have to speak well. You just need to do what I say to do. I'll give you the light. Okay. He didn't quite use that word. I just threw that in there. So here's Exodus 3, 13 to 14. Here's how the conversation kind of went. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? See, he's got God stumped, right? So what am I going to tell them, huh? Who am I going to say sent me? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, I don't know how that conversation goes when you go to some people and say, who sent you here? You're going to lead us out. Who sent you? I am. There's some explaining that has to go on behind that. But Moses is going to be equipped with that, right? So God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham. They know Abraham very well. We'll talk about that in a minute here. The God of Isaac and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you should call me from generation to generation. That means this is his name today. You could say, I am sent me. You could talk about God as I am. That's his name today. Okay, we don't use that term often, but you could. That's his name from generation to generation. And in the case of people 1,000 or so years later, where Jesus will be talking to these folks, in their case, they have held on to that I am. These are the Pharisees. These are the Sadducees. These are the teachers of the law. These are the people in high places, religious places. And they know that name, I am. They're holding on to that name, I am. So when Jesus uses that term, I am, it causes just a little bit dissension among them, because he's claiming something, which he literally is. He knows what he's doing. He's claiming a couple things. When he uses that name, he's claiming eternity, and he's claiming identity. That's what he's claiming. But let's go on. Jesus is talking to a group of Jewish people some years later, right? And they said to him, as he was talking to them, they said to him, aren't we right in saying you are Samaritan and are demon-possessed? Okay, Jews, Samaritans didn't get along. And Jews looked down on Samaritans terribly, okay? So you're in a conversation, and I don't know if you ever had in a conversation, you're talking to someone, and they try to insult you. They go, aren't you a Samaritan and demon-possessed? You know, it's like, what? You ever had somebody try to insult you in a conversation? Or did it just go over your head? Okay, sometimes people would throw insults at us, right? And so Jesus has an answer for them. It's important to note that they had just, in the same chapter, chapter 8 of John, they had just got through talking about Abraham, our father, in that same chapter, okay? So now, two things are happening here. Jesus is going to make clear his relationship to Abraham and his relationship to God. He's going to make both these things clear. So in John 8, the same John 8 that we got the first verse from, we're talking about, John 8, verses 54 through 59, Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. I want to stop right there if I can for a minute. See, he's saying to claim that you don't know him. If I claim that I don't know God, but I do know him, I'm a liar. And so even in our daily walk, do we make the claim that we don't know? Are we pushing a corner sometime where or feel too embarrassed to say who we know? And he said, if like you, I would be a liar if I said I didn't know him, okay? But he says, he goes on to say, if I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. Your father Abraham knew about me coming. Now, he didn't picture exactly what I would look like. He didn't picture exactly what I would be doing, but he knew of this day when I was coming. And you can see the crowd just getting kind of restless now. This guy, how does he know what Abraham know, right? And so they said this. They said, you are not 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? All right. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, and this is where the trouble came. Before Abraham was born, I am. Two things. First, you're claiming that you were back there before Abraham. That's eternity. And now you're taking the name that God said was his name. He told Moses this was his name from generation to generation. You're claiming you were before Abraham, and now you're claiming that you are the I am? That was a problem. And so what it says, it goes on to say, at this time, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. They were irate. They were frustrated. They were upset. You had the nerve to say that I am. These I am statements that we're talking about, these are very intentional I am statements that Jesus is making. But the first one is he said, I am. I am the same I am who said I am back to Moses some time ago, years ago. So very, very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was, I am. And so the setting was, you know, he's having this talk with this Jewish population. And these Jewish leaders, where he discusses his identity and authority. Theologically, the phrase I am connects God's self-identification. He's connecting with God. Theologically, Jesus is saying, yes, me and God, we're the same. I am. Not I'm close to him, not I was around him, I am, as he's claiming that. And their reactions, as we see already, their reactions are, they are irate. They want to stone him. I mean, if you could just see them, you know, they're pulling out their hair, picking up stones. I mean, they're ready to stone this guy who would dare make such a claim like that. Another theme is the eternity of Christ. He's letting them know, I've been here all the time. Before Abraham was, I am. And then again, his identity, who he is. So early in the same chapter, Jesus makes another statement about I am. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought to Jesus a woman who was caught in adultery, right? And they told Jesus that the law of Moses commanded us to stone this woman. What do you say? And this is where Jesus famously says to them, if any of you don't have any sin, you cast the first stone. Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine right here. If any of you don't have sin, get up and walk out right now. Don't. Because somebody might get up. Right. No, just joking. Okay. But if any of you don't have sin, now these are the religious leaders. These are the ones that's going to stone someone for sin, and they have to drop their stones. Now, there's another problem I have here. I haven't figured it out yet. Maybe one day I will. They caught this woman in adultery. Who was she with? Where he at? How come it's just her? How come what? You don't stone men, you just stone women? I mean, what's happening here, okay? So there's some hypocrisy happening here also. There's some unfairness. There's some things that are happening here that are beyond just a simple stoning, right? So John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. He had just got through saying this about this lady who was getting stoned, right? They wanted to stone. And he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What does that mean? It means then that this exercise I just sent you through, where I told you if you don't have sin, pick up the first stone, I just gave you some light. I just gave you some light about my Father's intentions. I just gave you some light about what God was really saying, okay? I gave you some light about being hypocrites. I gave you some light. And so it's important when Jesus says that I am the light of the world that we recognize that he's giving us something. He's teaching us something. He's helping us to see some things that we ordinarily wouldn't see because we are lost in the dark recesses of our own minds, the dark recesses of our own thoughts, the dark recesses of our own emotions. We're lost there sometime. And Jesus said, I am illuminating this for you, okay? So Jesus is not just one of many lights. He is the light. You ever been out to the desert or out to sea on a ship and you look up in the sky and you just see all these stars? You know, I guess in somebody's way they're going, which one is Jesus? Yeah, don't need to look up there. I'm not one of those. Those are very subordinate to me. I am the light. Okay? And so Jesus makes clear, this is who I am. And if you want true light, here's a light that doesn't flicker. It doesn't go out. You know, you get a candle and then the flame flickers. You get a flashlight. The batteries can go dead. There's different things that can happen. I am the light. I don't flicker. I don't go out. My batteries never run out. He is the light of the world. And as the light of the world, Jesus not only illuminates our path, but also our lives. Our lives can be illuminated with this light. He reveals truth. He helps us to see the guiding, the steps that we need to take, and he penetrates the darkness of sin and confusion. And I know today we all know there's a lot of sin and confusion happening in the world around us every day. And how do I navigate this? How do I get through it? I navigate this by being in the light, by having this light. And so when the world around me gets confused and they say some things, and they even want me to agree with them, oh, that's right, huh? That's right. But I have to go back to my light, to my source, and I have to say, I don't think that's right, okay? But we're in a world where there's darkness and sin, and we need a light that can penetrate that. Did you ever fear the dark? Were you ever scared of the dark as kids? Anything? Let me tell you this story. So, okay, I used to be young, really, I did. And it's kind of hard for some of y'all to believe. Okay, I was probably about 17. I had just left home, foolish. I didn't have no job and I left home. Who leaves home and don't have a job? How you gonna eat? I was hungry some days. Okay, I had this nice big old fro and I was hung up with my buds and we were tough guys, you know. And nothing scared us, you know what I mean? Nothing. We can handle anything. Except I also lived in a house that was in what we call the woods. You know what the woods are? It's like the forest, the trees, the bushes, and all that kind of stuff, right? And you can't see anything. And at nighttime, it's probably about a third of a mile to half a mile from like a main road where there's lights. Then there's no lights, and then there's you could see the light where the house that I lived in was at. But you had to get through this darkness to get there. This tough guy, he wasn't so tough then. Because every time I heard a rustle in the bush, I don't know what's there, okay? Man, I tell you what, I get to the edge of that road at nighttime, especially if I'm by myself. I feel my lungs full of air, and I take off running. My feet barely touching the ground as I'm running. I want to get through this darkness. I don't know what's going to jump out. My afro was kind of looking like my hair was, you know, was blowing in the wind, okay? I mean, I was running through. You know what? Because I was afraid of what was in the dark, that's what I couldn't see. And as tough as I was, sometimes the darkness just, it still gets to us. Rather, it's the physical darkness, the emotional darkness, the spiritual darkness, whatever darkness it is, sometimes it gets to us. And so sometimes you just have to lose your cool. You can't be cool no more. When running, I wasn't cool. When I got to the other side, I was cool again. You know? But getting there, no, I had to lose it all, okay? In John 8:12, Jesus declares something powerful. Darkness is not a problem if you are in me. If you are in me, darkness won't be a problem. It doesn't mean that the things that lurk in the darkness won't be there. It means that you'll see them. You'll have clarity. You'll be able to see. You'll be able to know what's going on. But when you have no light, when you're in the darkness, you can't even see the threat. And you want to see the threat because now I can figure out how to avoid the threat, right? And so when he says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, he's offering more than comfort. He's offering clarity, direction, freedom. And sometimes we just don't have that. We just don't have those things, and we're walking in the dark. And I tell you, even in our marriages, for instance, in our marriages, our relationships, different areas, in our work, wherever we are, sometimes we are just walking in the dark and we can't see. I know when I talk to couples about marriage sometimes, one of the first things I tell them is, sometimes I use the words, we need to be in the light, but sometimes I won't. But the first thing I do, this couple right here, I was just counseling them just this morning. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. Don't believe that. Okay. But one of the things I do as I'm talking to you, I'd say, look, she's not even in the room. She could be sitting right here. Let's get in the light. Let's talk about your vertical. Let's talk about this. How are things in your vertical life, and they would begin to affect your horizontal life. You see that? And so when we have the light, and he's going, I know that already. Okay, all right, he practiced that at home. Okay, thanks for letting me use you guys. But when I have that vertical that takes me to Jesus, it takes me where I can see the light, it helps the things around me. But when I'm trying to handle the horizontal and I don't have the vertical, that's an issue. When I don't have the light, that's an issue. And I may get some things right, I may not get some things right. And I will stumble and I will falter, but when I have the light. Well, what is the light you're talking about, Keith? What does it apply to this marriage? Well, here it is, here's part of it. I mean, it's more than that. It's communicating with God, it's praying, okay? It's talking with God, but here it is. Because you see, sometime the answer to that I'm looking for is hidden right in front of me. It's hidden right there, okay? And all I have to do is open it up and take a look. What does God have to say about a certain issue? And there's so many things that we don't get sometime because we're not connected to the light, all right? And so Jesus illuminates what the world tries to hide. Jesus exposes hypocrisy and sin, not so that he can shame the person or shame a person, but that so that he can heal, okay? So let's take this lady who's going to be stoned. Yeah, she was caught in sin. Jesus wasn't going to deny that, and he would expose that. Yeah, you are. But that's not so I can shame you. It's so I can lead you to healing. You see, sometimes when we're in the light, we're able to see the way to being healed rather than just living in our shame. And so light reveals, it exposes hypocrisy and sin. Like I said, where was the man? I mean, there had to be somebody if she was in adultery. That's hypocrisy. Now, I don't know the law back then. I wasn't that involved, but I can tell you that. It don't look right to me. Something ain't right here, okay? And it exposes sin, but again, not to shame, but to heal. So light reveals hope, which can be hidden by darkness, not just wrongdoing, okay? It doesn't only reveal wrongdoing, it reveals hope to us. And sometimes the hope that we can help pass on to people, when people are lost, we can give them the hope We can share with them the hope of Christ. It's up to them to take it. It's up to them to take the light, okay? Because there's many different lights out there. You guys have been to Walmart, Lowe's, whatever. All these lights. You're looking for one light. And they got all these different kind of lights. Battery operated, plug in, fluorescent, whatever, right? And there's so many lights, you get paralyzed by choice and you walk out and you don't even have a light. You still forgot what light I want. Wouldn't it be nice if they just had one light that lit up everything? Well, that's probably ain't going to happen in Lowe's or Walmart. But in our lives, there's one light that will light up everything, and so we don't have to go looking for all these other lights. Now, speaking for myself, I'm not opposed to people reading self-help books and those kind of things. I'm not opposed to that. I read them, okay? But what do I compare them to? That's the question. Sometimes people have some really good advice, but that's not my light source. My light source is the Word, and so I compare it to the Word. What does the Word say? So I'm okay with that. Yeah, I talk to other people to find out what some good ways might be, but I understand they're not the light. And even if they are a light, they flicker. They're like a candle with the wind blowing or the battery runs out. This light, this Jesus light, that doesn't happen, okay? And so as we noted earlier, the context here is key. Jesus just saved a woman caught in adultery, and the religious leaders want to stone her, but Jesus brought truth and grace into the scene. Because I am the light of the world. I'm bringing truth, I'm bringing grace. Light doesn't only expose sin, it also reveals hope. Jesus shines truth on hypocrisy, on judgment, on brokenness. He shines light on all these things. And if we want to get to the bottom, to root causes sometime, our relationship, particularly, we're Christians, are particularly, what's my relationship with God? Where's my light? Is my relationship with Jesus like he's like a flashlight and he's over here in the cabinet, and then when I need something, when I got a dark spot, I pull it out and shine the light? Or do I walk in the light all the time, okay? Light provides direction in darkness. Light, it may not provide the direction, it helps us see the direction. It helps us see where we're going. When we get up, you ever got up at nighttime, and how many got kids? Y'all got kids? Okay, remember, you know your way out the bed to the bathroom. You know it by heart, right? You've been living there. You can navigate this in the dark. What you can't see is that Lego sitting on the floor when you get out of bed. You can't see that thing that was left there. You're going to stub your toe. You can't see that. And without light, how many, you know, you step on that thing, you know. And so even though I think I know the way, sometime I need light. Light's going to show me, where it's a lamp unto my feet. Psalm 119, 105 will say, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It helps me to see the next step that I need to take. Because sometime when I'm walking, when I'm transiting from one place to the other, I can see what's up ahead. I saw that light way up there that I need to get to when I was running through the woods, okay? I saw that. What I couldn't see was this. It didn't matter because I was running so fast, I wasn't touching the ground. Well, I might have touched it, okay? But I knew that street pretty well. So your word is a lamp unto my feet. And so Jesus says, whoever follows me. His light doesn't flicker. It doesn't fade. The world's lights fade. His light remains. Jesus gives us the light of life. So following Jesus means walking with clear direction and not stumbling in the darkness. Well, let me change that. You still might stumble, but that's on us sometime, because sometimes we don't follow the direction that we're given. But following Jesus means walking with clear direction. I can see where I'm going. I see the Lego on the floor. I see the stone in my way. I see the different things in front of me. I can see that. Now it becomes a matter of choice. Now that I can see it, do I choose to step on it? Do I choose to do this thing, or do I choose not to? You see, after that, it becomes a series of choices. Life for us is a series of choices. We get to choose what we're going to do. We get to choose, are we going to follow the light that God provides for us through Jesus Christ? We get to choose that. It's a decision all the time. And unfortunately, for some people, the choice that we will make is that I'll do it my way. God, I know you're good. You gave me light on this subject, but I got this from God. Watch this. Okay? And then when you come back, put your tail between your legs, you know, like that dog that just got whooped by the other dog, you come back and go, okay, well, what was it that you really thought I should do, God? And God just, he reveals to us. The light is there for us, okay? Jesus didn't come only to forgive, he came to illuminate the way. So I got more than forgiveness for you. Forgiveness is great. Forgiveness is ultimate. But I also have a lamp for you. I also have illumination for you to see where you're going, to navigate your way through life, to navigate your way through some of the schemes of the devil, to navigate your way through some of the things happening. Again, there's many people who each of us have been there. We've been there before, the dark place in our head sometime. You guys got this little blue room in your head that you go sit in sometime? You know, you had a little pity party or whatever. Or sometimes it's even darker than the blue room, and you just can't seem to figure your way out. Sometime, in fact, do you know that even the scripture tells us in Philippians about go to God with gratitude, and then we'll experience the peace that surpasses all understanding? Do you know that science even backs that up? If you're being anxious, simply pull out your paper and pencil, start writing down what you're thankful for. Start writing down, start showing some gratitude, and you begin to see. And God has told us that already. Just with gratitude, come to me, and I will open up so that you can see. And I will give you a peace. Even in those dark moments, I will give you a peace that surpasses understanding. What does surpass understanding mean? It means other people won't understand how can you have peace in such a time like this. But you have that peace. You see, you're walking in the light. This is not just about believing. It's about following. You don't feel like you need much light when you're standing still, but you see, life doesn't stand still. We're always moving. For instance, we're moving through grief. How many times have we moved through grief and we just need something, we need some light? And then when you're moving through the grief, you have very well-meaning people who come say something to you that they think is very loving, and in your mind is insensitive. I don't know how many times I've heard that. And as you move through this grief, and what's my source for getting through this? I go back to God, okay? And I go back to God with it. When I'm moving through uncertainty, how can I be certain of the uncertain? People would say to me, Keith, how do I know God's will in my life? I go, you may not yet, but I can tell you the will of God that you do know, and maybe God just waiting for you to accept that one. You see, God's will that he gives us sometime is very simple. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. Love your neighbor, okay? Consider other people more important than yourself. You know, you don't always have to be the top dog. He's got something. Here's my will. It's right here. And as you start following this will, watch other things just begin to open up. But you're walking in the light when you follow his will. Through temptation, sometimes we're being tempted. Sometimes in our temptation, the best place to go is back to God. The best place to go. You know, sometimes in my head, I would say, I don't say it out loud, people think I'm crazy, but things will happen around me, and I just remember what Jesus said to Satan as he was trying to work through Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. I do that sometimes. Things will come to me, and I know it ain't right, and I just go, get thee behind me, Satan, and I move on. Sometimes scripture, sometimes God's word is the way, in fact, many times, it's the way to help us get through where we need to get to, okay? It's going to shed light on the subject. When you follow Jesus, you're not left to stumble. He lights your path, and so you can walk one step at a time, right? The light of Christ never grows dim. It is the light of life. I talked about that. I talked about how candles flicker and how flashlights of battery run out. And even you survivalists, I got some survivalists in here. You got your house all set for that big day when whatever happens, right? And everything is all set up like it needs to be. You got an emergency generator. You have an emergency generator for the emergency generator. Okay, you're set. A tornado comes through and rip all that out. You still ain't got no lights. Okay, sometimes the lights that we depend on, I'm not saying don't have it. Have lights, have plenty of flashlights, have light, have physical light. But the light, the ultimate light that's going to get us through it all is this light where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It's going to help us know how to react, okay? Jesus said, you will have the light of life, not the light of likes. There's light and there's like. People like me. That's the light of likes. No, you need to have the light of life. And sometimes I ride on that people like me, okay? Sometimes I ride on the light of identity. You know, in my time in the military, right, I reached a certain pay grade. And I work with people transitioning out right now, and I see it sometimes in people. Their identity is in their pay grade. Their identity is in the job. But when that goes away, when they retire, Some people are stumbling around, fumbling around, because your identity was in the wrong place. All right? We need a light. We need to have the light that makes it very clear where our identity really is. In fact, I want to challenge you with something. I want to challenge you. You know, we're talking about I am. I want you to just, what's your I am statement? We'll talk a bit more about that. But what's your I am statement? Jesus made his very clear. I am. What's yours? I am an engineer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. But if you ain't an engineer no more, that could be a problem. So there was a guy, he was a Christian singer. I don't know his name. It wasn't me because I can't sing well. But and somebody told him, you found your purpose. You're a singer. He goes, no, that's not my purpose. What if I lose my voice? Have I lost my purpose? Okay. So we don't put our faith in things. Our faith is in God, okay? Not the light of our reputation, but the light of life. Jesus is steady. He is faithful. He doesn't dim. So you're not meant to walk in the dark in this life. We're not meant to walk in darkness, okay? We're meant to walk in the light that God provides through Jesus Christ. He is the light that you walk toward. You walk toward that light, and you walk with that light, okay? So here's the question. Do you feel surrounded by darkness in some area of your life? You see, some of us have lives that are really great in many areas, but there's this one area where it's just horribly dark. I don't even want to go there because I can't figure it out. But we need to be working on that area, okay? We need to work on that. Are you groping along in the darkness? You've walked through a dark room sometime before, and you're groping along trying to feel something to grasp onto. Maybe your entire life is like that. Maybe in just a certain area of your life, if you feel surrounded by darkness right now, hear his voice again. I am the light of the world. So keep that in mind. When I'm in darkness and I go, but Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And focus on that and get ourselves back to Jesus. Or maybe some people have never even accepted the light. Some people have never even given their life to Christ. I mean, they listen and it sounds good. There's some good stuff happening here, but I haven't given my life to Christ. What does that even mean? Okay, you know, there was a guy who Jesus was dealing with, and this guy brought his son to Jesus to be have a demon exercise out of him, and he came to Jesus and he said to Jesus, I believe, but just help me overcome my disbelief. Wow. I believe, but I got to be honest with you, Jesus, there are some areas that I just don't get it. And Jesus said, that's okay. That's okay. In fact, he healed his son. Okay. That's okay. Just walk in the light. You'll get there. You'll get there. It's a journey. Okay. And sometime we're there. The point is not about being perfect or even totally understanding everything. The point is about having the light. And so it's about knowing that I am a damaged, imperfect person, and I'm walking in the dark, and I want the light. There were some people, you know, after Jesus, you know, was crucified, and he came back, he was resurrected, and he went to the Mount of Olives, and he ascended at the Mount of Olives. Peter, right after that, preached what's the very first sermon after Jesus ascended. And some people were convicted. Sometimes we get convicted, but you bring me to this conviction, but you don't give me an answer. All you did is make me feel this way. And they said to Jesus, to Peter, what must we do? And Peter just said, well, here's what you need to do. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the light. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. Now, some people would say, oh, come on now, wait, that just don't sound right. There was a guy named Naaman in the Old Testament. Naaman had leprosy. Leprosy was one of those things nobody wanted to touch, right? Nobody wanted to be around a leper, right? And Naaman had leprosy. And he talked to the prophet of God about being cured. And the prophet said, okay, God told me how to help you get cured. He wants you to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. What would you do if you had leprosy and someone came to you and said, all you got to do is dip in Jordan 7 times? You would jump for joy, right? Oh, not this guy. In fact, sometimes not even us. Are you serious? Do you want me to get in the muddy Jordan River? See, sometimes we overcomplicate what God is telling us. Yeah, well, yeah, just, why don't you just do what he said? How about that? Just do what he said and see how that works out. So Naaman goes and he starts. You know how your kids, they don't want to get in the tub, but they go in there anyway. Okay, and he gets in, he dips 7 times, he comes up, and they say, the Bible says, his skin was like that of a baby. He was cured. And sometimes we simply have to be in the light, follow the light, do what God tells us to do, and watch things work. Man, you can come on up if you will, please. So Peter told those people, this is what you need to do. And he said, once you're in the light, the question is, what are you going to do with the light? Okay? Sometimes we seem to be in the light in 1 minute and in darkness the next. You ever been there? I have. It's a roller coaster ride. Okay? Sometimes it happens daily. Sometimes I can go months and be in the light. And then suddenly I hit this dark spot and it's like, how'd I get here? Okay? And it's very tempting to try to take care of things on my own. The last question I want you to take home with you today is this. What is my I am statement? Jesus was very clear about his. What's yours? What's your I am? Let me give you a couple things you might want to consider. We need to be honest with ourselves, okay, and determine if we are or if we are not. So maybe my I am statement says this, I am walking in the faith. Or maybe it says, I am not quite walking like I need to walk. I am staying close to Jesus. I am following the light. What's our I am statement? Jesus is very clear about his, okay? And his helps us because we follow the light who he says that I am. So as you contemplate that, as you think about that, I want to take us to a place, communion, where we do here. You've got the communion. If you're not, you can get one. And this is where, after all the teachings and learning that people have gotten about Jesus, okay, now they get to the point where I'm going to keep him front and center. And we're going to do this thing called communion, and it's a remembrance. It's a memorial is what it is. We're going to remember this Jesus, remember this light. We're going to keep it close to us, and we're going to do it often, okay? And so there's a scripture in the Bible that says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Apostle Paul is talking to to the church in Corinth, and he said this. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. If you have your cup and if you want to engage, I'm going to pray for us. The band is going to play a song. And then let's engage in the remembrance of this light that was delivered to us. Our Father in heaven, we come before this morning and we just thank you for who you are, just how great you are to us. Sometimes many times we just so underappreciate, so underestimate, so under everything. And yet, Father, you have provided us a light. And this light came at cost. There was a crucifixion that took place. And Father, and then there was a resurrection. And as we participate in the Lord's Supper or communion, we are remembering this sacrifice that was made so that we could have this light that is eternal, this light that will show us the way, this light that brings us in communion with you. And so we thank you.